by the AG, and we have asked them to respond on each and every issue that is raised there, so that all of us, we are on the same wavelength as to what is that they are doing as the entity on that side, assisted by the department, to deal with these issues and the time frames, so that we can all of us engage on their recommendations and also take decisions as to what would we want as members of parliament, because some recommendations we might need to improve on them, or we might not agree at all. So that is the purpose of the meeting. Where are the documents? We have only one apology.
Committee section.
but it's sent to Shamila, the person who is in the email that should be with you. Even if you have sent that document at 12 o'clock in the evening or early hours of the morning, she would be in a position to email it to all the members of parliament. But I think before we could start, I would want to understand, because that's a standing policy, and more especially after you've been phoned now and again, what really happened? Because these documents are here in front of us now. I have not put my eyes. What happened? Why was not this procedure that we have communicated to you and the department was not followed in this instance? Over to you, Ms. Tanya.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. My apologies, I think there might have been a misunderstanding. We were not aware of the five-day policy, and the letter that came to us indicated that there was a request for a briefing. So we didn't understand that there was a need to provide documents in advance. Our sincere apologies about that. I'm not aware of any communication last night. Chairperson, you referred to Shamila, and we certainly haven't seen any documentation. We did forward our documentation via the Minister's office, but it certainly wasn't 5 days in advance. We forwarded it over the course of the weekend when we were finalising the document. So my sincere apologies for that. We are now aware of the standard, and we will comply with it going forward. My apologies. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go into details as to where it was sent, but it's surprising that you are telling this committee that you are not aware that when there are documents that are going to be discussed, that they must be sent to the committee in advance. I do know that when we started with this committee, we wrote a letter to the DG, and the DG was still the acting DG. And all of you, when you have to come to Parliament, you must send your presentations, all the documents that will be in discussion. I don't know if we are saying it's only the CCMA that has no idea that when you are coming to Parliament, you must send your documents in advance. I'm hearing that for the first time, because I don't know then how we're going to deal with this document. I think we will have to deal with the DG. But I don't want to believe, because it is not the first time that you are coming to Parliament, CCMA. And previously, when you are coming to Parliament, you will send your staff so that the members have an opportunity to look at them. And by the time they come to the meeting, they are aware of what is that is going to be discussed. And if there's a need for them to meet and discuss with their respective political parties, that's what happens. So I really don't believe, because I will ask the DG. Fortunately, the acting DG was the same DG when we started with you to deal with these matters of the documents that are going to be presented. The difficulty that we are going to be in is that the recommendations that you are bringing in front of us, they might be taken lightly by some of us for various reasons. But the ANC that has deployed myself and other members of the parliament here in this committee is taking issues of maladministration very seriously. of non-compliance very seriously. Issues of financial irregularities very seriously. It's also taking any suggestions of corruption in the process of executing your work very seriously. Now, would we have received these papers in advance? What if 5 days we look at them, and where there are serious issues, the ANC, that's how ANC works, I don't know other parties, I will talk for the ANC. We have to take decisions. We are not just going to listen to the recommendations. If the recommendations are not going to assist the objectives of the ruling party in this process, we will have to advise you. And we would not be in a position to do that if we just got the papers in front of us. We can't take decisions as you are talking and tell you this is what we feel. We need a collective decision, more especially on issues of this nature. These are not just issues. When you are dealing with issues of irregularities, non-compliance, and all the issues that have been raised by the AG, I must point out that the ANC takes AG's report very seriously, because that AG, that institution, it's not an institution that people woke up and decide that it must be there. It's an institution that was well thought of, and we take it very seriously. And everything that has been raised by that institution, we take it seriously. Now, it's whatever I would want to say or comment on the recommendations, it will be my personal view. It will not be a collective view. It will not be an ANC view. So my ruling on this matter is going to be, fine, continue, we'll give you an opportunity to present. But you will still have to come back, because after you have presented, we must sit as a collective and engage on the recommendations and engage on each and every issue that have been raised, that have been raised by the AG, and the manner in which you have raised it. The issues like this are serious in the manner that, you see, when you talk about financial irregularities, issues of non-compliance, there are issues that are sent to the police at times, depending to the seriousness. There are issues that Parliament has to deal with them. We are aware that the AG has made recommendations, but it doesn't stop Parliament from dealing with each and every issue that has been raised, because we view these issues seriously. And there is no issue of irregularity, not a single issue that is going to be swept under the carpet. We are going to deal with it as the ANC collective, in the manner in which the ANC wants these issues to be addressed. So we will give you the opportunity, that's what we are doing, opportunity to deal with these issues. But unfortunately, we cannot have a collective view whether your recommendations are in order, whether your recommendation will assist in solving the problems. So we still need that opportunity, and then we'll come back to you. Over to you, Ms. Tanya. There's a minister's rep, Mr. Mkhono.
No, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Just two issues that I would like to provide clarity on. One is that I can confirm that a decision of that nature was taken before this committee, that the document should be provided within 5 days, or at least 5 days before. And that was communicated to the DG's office. There must have been a miscommunication or something. But I can also confirm that we did receive the documentation from CCMA on Saturday evening. So the first thing I did in the morning on Monday was to forward it to Albertina, whom I'm told she is on leave. So I don't know what she did with that. But the first thing on Monday, they were forwarded to Albertina's email address. So I just wanted to provide that, not try to condone whatever has happened. Thank you, sir.
Okay, Mr. Mkhono, that was Monday morning. Okay. No, that's fine. Yeah, okay. Over to Ms. Tanya.
Thank you, Chair. We have noted your instructions on procedures and we'll certainly comply now being aware of it. And we apologize once more that the documents were not before you sooner. I do want to mention that this essentially is a follow-up meeting to what was presented on the 31st of August. So a lot of what we will present is not new. But I will go through the document quite carefully, given that honourable members have not had an opportunity to view the document before. Thank you. The document in front of you, as requested by the honourable chairperson, sets out in a template format the list of findings from the Auditor General, the recommendations made by the Auditor General, in-depth feedback from the CCMA, on how the recommendations have been or will be conducted, and then the status in the last column in terms of work in progress in terms of each of the recommendations of the Auditor General. So if one looks to number one, the first issue, this finding was that the advertisement of the bid was not advertised in the government tender bulletin for a minimum period of 21 days, as stipulated by the Treasury regulation. The recommendation required by the Auditor General was that the governing body should ascertain the reasons why the service providers were appointed without following the supply chain management policies of the CCMA and the stipulations of the PFMA and practice notes and regulations issued by National Treasury. The feedback from the CCMA has ascertained and investigated the reasons for the service providers being appointed, contrary to the PFMA practice notes and regulations issued by National Treasury. In the main, the reasons that were found through the investigation for non-compliance were as a result of the CCMA supply chain policy and some of the directives not being compliant with the PFMA Treasury prescripts. The resulting irregular expenditure has been identified and reported. Irregular expenditure has been regularized. From the beginning of the financial year, starting the 1st of April, CCMA has issued a directive to all users that all bids are required to be advertised in the government bulletin for a minimum of 21 working days as a minimum standard. And further, with the advice of the Auditor General and approval of the governing body, the CCMA supply chain management practices have since the 1st of April 2010 been aligned with the PFMA and national regulations. The supply chain policy is in the process of being updated. We have had input and advice from external auditors, and it has been considered by the governing body. We are still awaiting Auditor General comments on that, pending a final tabling of the updated supply chain policy for approval by the governing body. This point comes up quite frequently, so I'm just going to make sure that there's clarity on that, although it is written here. Essentially, what we did from the 1st of April is that we've been applying the PFMA and national regulations directly, pending the updating of the supply chain policy. Once the supply chain policy is aligned, we will be implementing that at the governing body level. So we are, as of the 1st of April, the policies and practices that are in effect are aligned to the PFMA and national regulations. So in terms of the recommendation, we believe that recommendation has been implemented and the status of it is closed. And I move to the next point. Should I change, go through an entire...
Continue.
Thank you. Chair, you will note there is some duplication, so I won't repeat the points if they are coming up, but I will draw the committee's attention to that. The second point, the evaluation was conducted by a private company and there were limited scoring inconsistencies. The awarding of points was done in contravention of paragraph 4, brackets 1 of the PPPFA regulations. The recommendation by the Auditor General of South Africa, firstly, the governing body should consider possible actions against employees in terms of the PFMA who appointed service providers, and secondly, ascertain the reason why the service providers were appointed without following the supply chain management policies of the CCMA and stipulations of the PFMA and practice notes issued by National Treasury. Feedback from the CCMA. The CCMA has conducted an investigation into the reasons for non-compliance. Essentially, the non-compliance was due to the supply chain management policy of the CCMA not being aligned with the legal prescripts, as mentioned in the point above. Accordingly, there were no acts of criminality or negligence on which to base disciplinary action, and no disciplinary action was taken. Secondly, evaluation of the bids by the Bid Evaluation Committee is now taking place, aligned to PPPFA and PPBEE codes. New codes and forms have been developed in this regard and are in place and being used. New procedures and forms have also been introduced and implemented for the Bid Adjudication Committee to validate the accuracy of points allocated during the evaluation process. And the governing body is playing an oversight role in the development of new procedures and the application thereof. So essentially, in terms of the recommendations of the AGSA, the status in terms of those recommendations is also that they have been implemented, and that matter is now closed. Moving on to point number three, there is no evidence that the Bid Adjudication Committee considered the evaluation report by the private company. The approval was granted by the Finance and Risk Subcommittee of the governing body. The Auditor General recommendation there was that the governing body should consider whether expenditure incurred constitutes irregular expenditure as defined by the PFMA, and if so, report their irregular expenditure in terms of the PFMA. The CCMA response, all of the bid evaluations are now being conducted by the Bid Adjudication Committee. In addition, there's still consideration for additional oversight. This is voluntary. By the governing body above certain thresholds. Thirdly, the CCMA conducted a quantification of all the irregular expenditures required on the contracts, which were not previously investigated by the Auditor General. And based on that quantification exercise, a summary of the findings were reported to the Auditor General. The quantification was considered by the governing body and focused on the past three financial years, 2007-2008, 2008-2009, 2009-2010. However, it should be noted that some of these contracts included in the summary were awarded as early as 2001, so they backdated quite considerably. All this irregular expenditure was condoned by the governing body and was disclosed and quantified in the annual report of 2009-2010, which was published on the 31st of August and which we reported on to this committee, I think it was the 14th of September. So in terms of the recommendations of the Auditor General, that quantification of irregular expenditure and the reporting thereof has been implemented, so the status of that is closed. Moving to item four, the Bid Adjudication Committee approved the appointment of five service providers in August 2008. This was done without ensuring that bid proposals have been evaluated for compliance. One of the approved bidders, approved by the Bid Adjudication Committee, was appointed to provide renovation services in contravention of the Supply Chain Management Practice Note 8 of 2007-2008. The Finance Subcommittee has condoned the deviation and condoned the contravention on the procurement process for not having signed the contract. The final condemnation and approval by the governing body was on the 27th of August 2009. The Auditor General recommendations is that the governing body should consider taking effective and appropriate steps to prevent irregular expenditure for not complying with the supply chain management policies. The actions taken by the CCMA in this regard, all the bids are being adjudicated by the Bid Adjudication Committee, and new procedures provide evidence of adjudication, and these have now been developed and implemented. CCMA has implemented a decision register to ensure that it that what is approved by the relevant committees is carried through into the contracts entered, so that there are no errors in that regard. It's also implemented a deviation register, which is held in the office of the accounting officer to record the reasons and approve any deviations, including in the event of ceding any payments. So this should address the irregular expenditure that was raised in this point. The CCMA has investigated the regular expenditure, and that has been regularised, and with the advice of the Auditor General and the approval of the governing body, the supply chain management practices have since the 1st of April been aligned with PFMA and national regulations and prescripts. That is a repeat of the points raised above in point number one, so I'm not going to go through the detail here again. Accordingly, the recommendations of the Auditor General has been implemented in the development of these additional procedures and processes, and we regard that recommendation as now closed. Moving on to point number five, payments per annum exceeded 200,000 threshold for invitation of competitive bids. No evidence could be found for deviation from inviting competitive bids and approved by the accounting officer authority or delegates as stipulated in the Treasury regulation. The Auditor General recommendation was that the governing body should consider taking effective and appropriate steps to prevent irregular expenditure for not complying with the supply chain management policies of the CCMA. The actions taken by the CCMA in this regard is similar to some of the points already mentioned. The CCMA has implemented the deviation register. The supply chain management practices have since the 1st of April been updated to align with PFMA and national regulations. And then one further issue in terms of complying with this recommendation is that the CCMA management and supply chain practitioners have undergone extensive training on PFMA and Treasury prescripts in relation to supply chain procedures and processes, which should assist in guarding against similar irregular expenditure going forward. So in terms of the recommendations, they have been implemented. We regard this matter as now closed. Moving on to point number six, the service provider misrepresented its BEE credentials. The recommendation of the Auditor General was that the governing body should ascertain why the service providers were appointed without following the supply chain management processes and stipulations of the PFMA and practice notes and regulations issued by National Treasury. The CCMA actions in this regard, the CCMA has investigated the causes of the BEE credentials being misrepresented and incorrectly captured. Legal advice was sought in the contract that was based on a misrepresentation, and the contract was duly cancelled, and authorisation was obtained from the governing body to do so. The CCMA has since acquired the services of a commercial betting company to verify and the authenticity of the information submitted by the service providers when bidding, and this service goes further. It also checks to the authenticity of tax clearance certificates, and it looks at related party checks to ensure that there's also no conflicts of interest, no fronting, no bid rigging, and that the CCMA officials, and which includes both employees and board members, are not conflicted. So that has been an additional step that has been taken to guard against misrepresentation in the entering into of contracts. And then as of the 1st of April, all providers are required to submit a valid BEE verification certificate through an accredited company with SANAS certification. So in terms of ascertaining the reasons and taking action to guard against future such problems, the CCMA has implemented those recommendations required by the Auditor General, and we regard that matter as now closed. Moving on to point number seven, the CCMA paid the service provider an amount of over 3 million rand, which is more than 377,160 rand more than approved. No evidence could be submitted that the additional amount was approved by the Finance Subcommittee or that the amount was recovered from the service provider. The recommendation by the Auditor General is that the governing body should consider taking effective and appropriate steps to prevent irregular expenditure for not complying. The steps that have been taken in that regard, I've already mentioned many of them above, but in addition, the CCMA has investigated this overpayment. It was found to be due to incorrect recording of the contract amount in the contract, and the new decision and deviation register will be assisting in terms of that. The governing body has considered the matter and resolved that management takes steps to recover this overpayment, and the CCMA is in the process of attempting to recover the overpayment. While the procedures in terms of the decision and deviation register and the alignment of supply chain policies have taken place, we don't believe that this recommendation has been fully implemented It's still in the process of being implemented while the steps are taken to recover the overpayment, and we therefore regard the status of this as ongoing. The time frame, unfortunately, is unspecified because it's dependent on how soon we can recover the funding. So that matter is still open. Moving on to the next point at the top of the following page, the CCMA has extended, that is a new point. CCMA has extended the contract on several occasions until the 30th of September from 2001. There's no evidence to support the extensions or that the contracts existed in the first instance for certain periods. Although the payments were made to the service provider, the services rendered were for maintenance support covering all service equipment to the value of $406,000 for the duration of 12 months. Total payments made to the service provider for the period of 29 August to 31st March 2009, according to the CCMA records, amounts to $4.611 million. However, due to a lack of information, the amount to be regarded as irregular expenditure could not be accurately determined. The auditor general recommendations there, the governing body should consider taking effective appropriate steps to prevent irregular expenditure for non-compliance with the supply chain management policies. Sorry, this is a link point to the previous one which I was talking to. And the implementation by the CCMA, as above, the CCMA has implemented a decision register to ensure that what is approved by the relevant committees is carried through as the contract entered into. And then supply chain policies have been aligned, as mentioned already. So in that regard, the processes have been implemented as recommended, and the status of that part of the recommendation is closed. Moving on to point 8. Two instances have been identified where two sole providers were appointed for the rendering of services to the value of R110,595 and R53,140 respectively without obtaining three quotes. No evidence could be found that the accounting authority or delegated authority approved the deviation as stated in the relevant paragraph of the supply chain management practice list. The recommendation in this regard by the Auditor General: the governing body should ascertain the reasons why the service providers were appointed without following the supply chain management policies of the CCMA and the PFMA and practice notes issued by the National Treasury. What the CCMA has done, the CCMA has investigated the matter and found that in the main the reasons for non-compliance in this instance were due to inadequate recording of the failure of the first successful bidder and then obtaining goods from the second best bidder. The decision register and deviation registers that have been implemented and developed will monitor this going forward and ensure compliance in this regard. So the Auditor General recommendations have been implemented in that regard and the status of that matter is closed. Moving on to item 9, the CCMA appointed a recruitment agency. However, only one recruitment agency was considered. Three potential contractors from the same recruitment agency were evaluated, and the CCMA did not obtain three quotes from three different recruitment agencies. The Finance Subcommittee subsequently approved and condoned the deviation for not inviting three quotations and the related expenditure in August 2008. The expenditure incurred amounted to R607,299. Recommendations from the Auditor General: firstly, that the governing body should consider possible action against employees in terms of the PFMA who appointed service providers, and secondly, ascertain the reasons why the service providers were appointed without following the supply chain management policies of the CCMA and the PFMA and National Treasury. What has the CCMA done in this regard? As required, it has investigated the matter, reported this to the Finance Subcommittee and the governing body, and condemnation was granted as mentioned by the Auditor General. The CCMA has implemented a deviation register in the Office of the Accounting Officer to record the reasons and approve any deviation, including in the event of ceding of payments. What was found in this investigation was that it was inadequate recording of deviations. In that regard, the recommendations of the Auditor General have been implemented and the stage is just closed. Point number 10, the CCMA invited proposals for the delivery of IT services. However, payments that were made to two service providers for providing the service that did not score the highest number of points were also not recommended by the evaluation committee. The payments amounted to 178,503 rand and 324,206 rand. The Auditor General recommendations indicated that the governing body should consider whether expenditure incurred constitutes irregular expenditure as defined in the PFMA, and if so, report the irregular expenditure. What has the CCMA done? The CCMA has investigated and in the main found that the reasons for non-compliance in this regard were as a result of inadequate recording of the failure of the first successful bidder and then obtaining goods from the second best bidder. It should be noted in this regard that the expenses were therefore not irregular, they were, in terms of they were just inadequately recorded, and hence further action was not required in that respect. A decision register and deviation register have been developed and implemented to monitor this going forward so that this type of error does not happen again. The recommendations have been implemented and we regard the status as closed. Point number 11, one instance was identified where the CCMA invited three quotations for digital signage. The CCMA appointed a service provider to the value of 367,522 rand without inviting competitive bids. The reasons for not inviting the competitive bids were not recorded and approved by the accounting officer or his or her delegate. The Auditor General recommendation: the governing body should consider taking effective and appropriate steps to prevent irregular expenditure for not complying with the supply chain management policies. What has the CCMA done? The CCMA has investigated and found that the reasons for deviation from the invitation of competitive bids above the threshold were not recorded and approved by the accounting officer as required. Decision and deviation registers that have been developed will guard against this in the future. The recommendation has both been implemented and the status is closed. Moving to point number 12, CCMA appointed a service provider to render advertising services amounting to 612,760 rand by inviting quotations. From the payment documentation, it was determined that the services rendered were the same nature, and it appears as if the orders were split to avoid inviting competitive bids for transactions over 200,000 rand. The Auditor General recommendation: the governing body should consider taking effective and appropriate steps to prevent irregular expenditure for not complying with the supply chain management policies of the CCMA. What did the CCMA do? The CCMA investigated the matter and found that the non-compliance was found to be due to the procurement service of the same nature from the same vendor being secured over the course of three financial years, resulting in an oversight. The decision register and deviation registers that have been developed and implemented will guard against this going forward and ensure that this type of irregular expenditure does not occur. The recommendation has therefore been implemented. The status of that is now closed. Moving on to point 13, and I will remind the honourable members that this was it's a very long point in terms of the Auditor General explanation, but essentially this was around the appointment of the corporate services manager and some commissioners who were travelling between various centres, and I think I'm happy to take the committee through the details of that, but if one looks to the recommendation, the essence is that the Auditor General required that the governing body should consider relocating the commissioners to the regions in which they were appointed, or consider appointing the commissioners where they reside in order to assure that that a once-off fee is paid for relocation, or that the daily, weekly, or monthly costs are reduced. Chairperson, would you like me to take you through the detail of what was complained of, or is that satisfactory at this point to deal with? Thank you. What the CCMA has done in this regard, we wish to note that prior to the appointment, the governing body had considered the organisational requirements. In compliance with the recommendations, we once more applied as a governing body our minds to this matter and believe that in order to retain the skill and meet the operating requirements of the CCMA, that the contracts entered into with these individuals are compliant with the legal prescripts and in the best interest of the CCMA in terms of optimal skill utilization, deployment, and management of budget. Many of these roles are performed simultaneously in different parts of the country, and it's therefore appropriate that people travel quite extensively in certain positions as disputes happen in different parts of the country and their services are needed at certain times. This recommendation we regard as implemented and the status thereof is closed. Moving on to point 14, a deed of settlement was signed and concluded between SARS and the CCMA on the 2nd of April 2009. CCMA was of the view that no penalty and interest should be imposed by SARS as a result of its voluntary disclosure to SARS. This was accepted by SARS, and it was agreed that the CCMA had to pay R11,445,339. Payments were done in two installments of 6 million rand and just over 5 million rand on the 31st of March 2009 and the 4th of April 2009, respectively. The fruitless waste for expenditure was reported in the annual report for the 2008 to 2009 financial year. Note 23 disclosed of the annual report and the contingent liability with regard to the IT3A for the 2007 tax year. The CCMA has complied for taxes 2008 and 2009 with the fourth schedule of the Income Tax Act by deducting PAYE from part-time commissioners' remuneration and has issued the IT3A and the IRP5 certificates to part-time commissioners. The fruitless and wasteful expenditure was reported in the annual report of 2008-2009 financial year. Note 23 disclosed of the annual report contingent liability with regard to the IT3A for the 2007 tax year. CCMA has complied for tax years 2008 and 2009 with paragraph 2, brackets 1 of the fourth schedule of the Income Tax Act by deducting PAYE from part-time commissioner remuneration and issued the IT3A and IRP5 certificates to part-time commissioners. Recommendations by the Auditor General in this regard: the governing body should attempt to recover taxes not declared and paid to SARS by part-time commissioners. Secondly, the governing body should make settlement arrangements with SARS regarding the non-compliance with the Income Tax Act for the 2007-2008 years. Steps taken by the CCMA: the governing body has resolved that the CCMA should continue to take steps to recover the money paid by the CCMA to SARS in settlement on behalf of those commissioners for whom tax had not been deducted as a result of the incorrect interpretation of the tax treatment of independent contractors, which resulted in the initial non-compliance. The CCMA is waiting on SARS to assess the IT3As submitted for the 2007-2008 years. Whereafter, once SARS has issued the final assessments to the affected individuals and advised the CCMA will secure external expertise in order to recover the amounts. The CCMA envisages that the exercise will take a period of 48 months approximately to ensure that the recovery is done, and the governing body will exercise oversight and receive regular updates on progress. This recommendation is obviously partly in progress. It hasn't been closed. The time frame is unspecified. It is partially dependent on the SARS assessment and the successful recovery period, so we regard that status as ongoing. If one moves to item number 15, the Provident Fund Administrator confirmed that during the period of 1st March 2008 to January 2010, CCMA only paid the August 2009 contributions later than what the Pension Fund Act stipulates. A contribution of in excess of 1.6 million for August 2009 was only paid on the 17th of September 2009, which was done contrary to the Pension Fund Act. The CCMA had to pay interest amounting to 11,257 rand. The interest was paid over to the Provident Fund in October 2009 and was deemed fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The recommendation by the Auditor General: according to the PFMA, fruitless and wasteful expenditure is determined as expenditure made in vain, which could have been avoided had reasonable care been exercised. The interest of 11,257 rand paid to the Provident Fund should therefore be regarded as fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The governing body should report this expenditure in terms of the PFMA. Action taken by the CCMA: the CCMA did investigate the cause of the late payment, and it was considered by the governing body. The reasons were as a result of inadequate funding in the CCMA due to late payments by the Department of Labour to the CCMA, which was unexpected despite undertakings. The governing body disclosed and reported the interest paid as part of the annual report to the 2009-2010 financial year, thus complying with the recommendations of the Auditor General. Thank you for that. Sorry, we also complied with the requirements of reporting to the National Treasury as required by the law. The recommendation of the Auditor General has been implemented and the status of that item is now closed. Item 16, this was essentially an allegation of information received that the risk manager had been appointed irregularly. There is no recommendation from the Auditor General in this regard, as based on the information obtained, the allegation that the human resource manager was not aligned with prescribed legislation and regulations, the Auditor General found to be unjustified, as well as that of the allegations against the appointment of the risk manager. So both those were found to be unjustified. There were no recommendations and accordingly no action taken by the CCMA in that regard. Moving on to item 17, the salary advance was not granted in accordance with the approved policy in regard to salary advances, dated November 2000. Two recommendations from the Auditor General in this regard. Salary advance to the part-time commissioner was in contradiction with the CCMA policy and the payment should be regarded as irregular expenditure. In relation to that, the CCMA has investigated the matter and has taken disciplinary action against the employee who irregularly granted the salary advance contrary to procedure. Salary advance has been recovered in full, and in addition, the governing body has had oversight and has regularized the expenditure as required and reported this in the annual report of 2009-2010. So that aspect of the recommendation has been implemented. Secondly, the Auditor General indicated that the gross salaries paid for April and May were not in accordance with the agreement signed on the 17th of March 2009, and the governing body should determine the overpayments made to the part-time commissioner for April and May 2009 and recover an overpayment if required. The CCMA has investigated the alleged overpayments. It was found that all payments were correctly paid in line with work done once the reconciliation was done, so no further action was required in regard. The recommendation has thus been implemented and the status of that is closed. Finally, the evaluation report with recommendations was not submitted to the Bid Adjudication Committee. The CCMA was granted ex post facto approval by the National Treasury on the 8th of December 2009. The Auditor General of South Africa confirmed that the bank account was still operational on the 25th of January 2010 and that 11 current accounts were closed on the 27th of January 2010. The recommendation by the Auditor General was that the governing body should take effective steps to close the CCMA's previous bank account as soon as possible to comply with National Treasury requirements. Actions taken by the CCMA. The CCMA has taken steps to close the bank account. There was a small delay, which you recall from our previous meeting, which we mentioned, which was due to transferring existing lease guarantee agreements, which were linked to the main accounts, which has now been resolved. The accounts from the previous bankers have been fully closed, as recommended, with National Treasury approval. The recommendation is therefore implemented, and the status of that is closed. You will notice some general notes that we have put below in conclusion. I think it is important for the committee to note that all the recommendations in the investigation report, except for 13, 15, 16, 18, and extended recommendations relating to recommendation 3, were first raised in the regularity audit of 2008-2009 and the high-level review conducted in the regularity audit of 2008 and 2009. The CCMA had already started at that time to address the findings when the current investigation was started. Hence, most of the recommendations were already in process of implementation. And I think that explains why the majority have been addressed already. As an overall measure, and I think this is also important to note, to implement best practice compliance going forward, the CCMA will investigate the appointment of a chartered company secretary with CIS qualifications, with thorough public sector experience in order to vet and advise on these types of policies and decisions. This will assist in ensuring proper compliance in the future, because obviously the nature of this irregular expenditure cannot happen again, and we are very concerned about it. We do believe that most of the measures that have been adopted will guard against this going forward, but we want to make sure that no different instances of irregular expenditure arise in the future. And then finally, the Auditor General in the debriefing meeting with the CCMA on the investigation and in concluding the 2009-2010 regularity audit has agreed to perform an interim audit on the compliance with the recommendations as we have just taken you through in early 2011 to validate the compliance with the recommendations. So this is our report at this stage. Obviously, we would await the Auditor General's input. We have put these processes through our internal audit processes, and we have already received feedback on that, but we obviously look forward to the Auditor General's final input that these matters are indeed implemented and closed to the satisfaction of the Auditor General. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more input from the next? Do you want to say something? Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
What we have done at the bottom of the page, we have referred to certain documents. They are thick documents. What we have done for the committee, we have saved them on the memory stick, which we'll give to the secretariat on the revised supply chain and the bid evaluation committee procedures and forms, bid adjudication procedures and forms, decision register, and the deviation register, which we have implemented during the course of the year to guard against occurrences of irregular expenditure going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, the chairperson of the governing body and your entourage members. There's input that have been made. Are there any clarities on that report? And questions? I've noted on the hands. Honorable Collins?
Thank you, Chairperson. And just a couple of quick ones. Point 7, or item 7 on your list, the 377,000 you're in the process of attempting to recover that overpayment. If you are unable to recover that overpayment, will you write it off and then cancel that contract with that supplier, or what sort of, what will you do? Then number 9, the inadequate recording of deviations. If you could just explain a little bit about why the three quotes weren't obtained, I'm entirely, quite understand it completely. Point 12, you didn't quite explain that split bill. Did the staff member in fact try to avoid the process by splitting the bill? We just sort of don't really now know whether or not the staff member did do that or didn't do that, or whether the supplier did or didn't do that. I'm just not actually quite sure. And then a final question is number 13. Just a clarity question. Are you telling us that you do need to fly these individuals around the country as much as they were flown around? Is that what the CCMA is saying? We really do need these people. We need these specific people in different provinces, and therefore we must continue to fly them around the country. I just think we should actually put that on the record so that we know when we get questions again about this as a committee, we actually have the answers. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mrs. Tanya, throughout your presentation, wherever there are irregularities and recommendations have been made, the recommendations are throughout silent. We don't know what sort of recommendations were made. It just recommended recommendations were made as data closed.
Now, it is not possible that we could know what recommendations were made. So that we can know whether there were maybe a retribution on those who were found responsible for these maladies.
Okay, thank you, sir. Honorable Nyakemba.
Thank you very much. Thanks to the mayor for the briefing. And I think the adherence which are attempting to in relation to preferential procurement policy act, I think is a good step. Just a couple areas, Madam Chair.
Yeah.
On point one, on the course of action, what SUSEME has done, especially the last point, point five, last part of point five, where the Auditor General commands that input is pending prior to tabling the updated supply chain policies for approval by the governing body. I think I can say that the recommendation you are saying that the status this matter has been closed. I'm asking myself if then you have not yet received an input from the AGs in relation to this. How can you then just close it? And in your dealings with the AG's office, in order to rectify this, I would advise that I think instead of it just be open-ended, I think you need to work in time frames with the AG's office in order for you to rectify what is it that has been identified by the AG's office. That's the first point, Chair. The second point is on point five. Point three of Susan A's feedback, where it says the Susan A management and supply chain practitioners have undergone extensive training on PFMA, etc., procedures, blah blah blah. But I think the for me, you can't say because they've taken 28 training, so that was finished. I think it's supposed to be an ongoing thing because gradually there will be changes in these pieces of legislation. So my point is why don't I understand that you are responding to the recommendations from the AG. But I think from what you are supposed to do as a public entity, I think you need to take your staff. There has to be a continuous training. The next point for me, Madam Chair, I think it's a point that was raised by Honorable Hollis, point 12. I just want you to refresh my memory. On this issue, if my memory serves me well, I think when you came from annual reports or after you came or after the findings were submitted to Parliament by the AG, we had a meeting with you after that. Correct me, I think on this issue, what you were saying, yes, you did appoint one service provider. But however, the kind of services that were provided by the service provider was not necessarily the same services. There were different, upgrading of the service that was initial. So I just want you to refresh me, my memory on that, because Honorable Hollis, I think when you raised that question, that reminded me of the fact that you did said mention something on this. I think if you get a call, please refresh our memory. The other point, Chair, for me is on point 18. I think Honorable Hollis also did raise a question of this one about the traveling of the commissioners from different areas. I understand the explanation that you gave at that particular time, but in addressing this matter, what is the service that you have done? Have you appointed them in the areas of their residential, or you will still continue? They will still continue traveling if their expertise they are required in other provinces. The was on point 14. No, not point 14, sir. I will cover the point 14. On point 17, your point one, the CMA investigated the matter and has taken disciplinary action against the employee involved in irregularly granting the salary advance. I understand. I'm not doubting the fact that you have taken a disciplinary action. But that's why we want to reflect that when we were looking at the annual reports of the UIF, the compensation fund, and I've also seen, even in the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, where kinds of disciplinary actions that were taken within, they do reflect in the annual reports. So I think then it will not necessarily just be an issue of you in responding to the recommendations from the AGs, but I think when you will come also for annual reports, you will reflect when you will be reporting on disciplinary action taken in the staff that are in system A. I think also that this will form part of that. Thank you very much, Chairman.
Okay, members, over to you, CMA.
Chair, if you'll allow us, we're going to share the responses to the questions in the order in which they were raised. The first issue by Honourable Olaf was on point number 7, in terms of if the CSMA cannot recover the overpayment of 377,160 rand, will we write it off or cancel? CSMA has already endeavoured to engage with the service provider in that regard. It is a small business, and we are going to try and enter into repayment terms so as not to put the small business out of business, and obviously try and recover the money over an extended period rather than write it off or make a decision that will put the service provider out of business. We are hopeful that that will actually materialise. So our intention is not to write it off if we can avoid that. In terms of point numbers, referring to point numbers 9 and 12, I'm going to ask our CFO to respond to those two.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. On point number 9, when the service was required, quotations were required, meaning it was for human skills, where recruitment agencies and placement agencies were contacted to provide quotations. In this instance, the quotations were obtained from one single vendor, meaning there were three skills from one single vendor. And during the review of expenditure in 2008, it was picked up. And immediately it was picked up before payment was done. It was reported to the Finance Committee and also to the governing body for condonation. And the people involved, because we were setting up the supply chain unit at that time in 2008, we made a procedure to ensure that they shouldn't require quotations, three or so from the same supplier. And you will see also on number 12 is the same instance. they should be requiring the quotations from three different service providers and the skills within those service providers. So they looked on the skills from one service provider instead of three service providers. Hence, it was picked up immediately that it's a deviation and reported and condoned before payment could be made to the supplier, which was in August of 2008, before allegations were made. On point number 12, on this one, this service provider entered into an agreement with the CCMA as far back as around 2004. It was for advertising services for placement of HR adverts in the papers. How they did it at that time, which is a deviation, is that that particular media house will obtain quotations from different media houses like Sunday Times, City Press, or Sunday Independent. And then based on that, they will pick the best quote. However, that service should not have been performed by the media house outside. It should have been performed by the CCMA and amongst different media houses, not one media house doing that. And if we look at the advertising for the period under the investigation, which is around 3 years, which we didn't go backwards from 2004, for the period of under 3 years, it amounted to 612. And correctly so from the AG is that these were the goods of the same nature obtained from the same supplier. However, they were asking for quotations from three media houses, but legal prescripts are saying, no, you can't do that. You need to get quotations from different vendors. Just to refresh, Honorable Nyakemba, and answer to Honorable Hollis on that matter.
Chair,
thank you.
Morning. Thank you. Those of you in the room, Khan, the director of the CCMA, going to assist in relation to two questions that have been asked around number 13, which deals specifically with, or clarify, do we still need to fly the people around? I mean, I think it's, in summary, the question. And the answer to that question is yes. And the governing body looked at it, and before these people were appointed on contract to do that, the governing body and the HR subcommittee had looked at that, and they've looked at it again. The reason being is that often there are disputes in far-lying areas or far-out issues, or people need to deal with specific areas of work that they're experts in outlying areas, but we can't afford to employ the person in that area permanently, and so it's more cost-effective to actually transport them there for that particular incident or that event or that particular strike or whatever it is, and then for them to be residing elsewhere, or to do work in different provinces, as in relation to operations, they have to travel to different provinces and oversee each province, give guidance to senior management in relation to that, or give assistance in big mediations, etc., for big strikes. So the answer is that the governing body's re-evaluated that, re-looked at it, and they've confirmed that that is the most effective way to deal with it. And it's also the best deployment of skills, because you may not find the skills in that area if it's in a specific outlying area.
I just want to elaborate on that a little bit further and make it very real, is that we do not have enough senior commissioners to occupy all the provinces at the right skills level. And the governing body has implemented a strategy in terms of some of the worst performing provinces in terms of efficiencies, that if we see that the performance efficiencies are going down, management has to step in very, very quickly and deploy a senior team from head office with expertise to resolve those issues. And that is a roving team that actually moves to different provinces. And we need some of the best skilled people to go there. And it's been proved to be very, very successful. So that's one of the roving areas. The other thing that management has done, after this considerable engagement with the Human Resource Subcommittee of the Board and the governing body, is that there are people that hold both national office positions as well as provincial office positions. So they're actually covering two roles, thus requiring them to travel. So, and a very good example is in with us now is Ronald Burdicko, who's currently deployed in the Johannesburg office, and he is between the Western Cape office, where for a number of years he was the senior convening commissioner, but he's now assisting in the Johannesburg office. We also had the national head of mediation who was travelling between KZN and the national office because he was also helping in the province. So there's a number of people who are filling two roles, and in that way We're actually saving funding, it's not expending more because people are covering more. It's not an ideal situation, but we do have budgetary constraints, and we have we do struggle, and I think that's it's an important thing to note, is that while we have huge technical competence, to have that combination of managerial competence and technical competence takes time to build, and that's policy. Well, that approach of sometimes people travelling assists the CCMA in managing that situation. So I think that addresses those points. The Honourable Boinamo, you mentioned irregularities and what are the recommendations. And perhaps I wasn't clear enough when we went through the document, but if you look at the second column is the recommendations by the Auditor General in terms of what they required the CCMA to do. And the third column is what has been implemented. So the fourth column is the summary, essentially, of the status of the recommendations. I hope that addresses your question there. And then moving on to the Honourable Nia Kemba, you required clarification in terms of the status of the supply chain and why are we marking it as closed when in fact it's still regarded as open until the supply chain policy is approved. If one looks at the recommendation is to ensure that the supply chain management policy approach is compliant. And by immediately suspending the old supply chain policy and applying the PFMA and Treasury policies directly, we believe that we've implemented that as compliant. There is a further step in terms of making sure the supply chain policy actually comes in, but essentially that's not preventing us from complying at this stage with the requirements of PFMA and National Treasury. So if you want to add further to that.
Thank you. Honourable Nia Kemba, on the clarification on point five. Point five, technically we can say it's ongoing, pending, receiving. On number one, item number five, where we are awaiting input from the Auditor General. The agreement with the Auditor General is that in the debriefing meeting which we had about 2 months ago, they have taken the documents which we have given them to their technical department to advise us. But parallel to that, we already received input from the contracted external auditors, which is Deloitte, contracted external auditors from AGSA, which is Deloitte. They've already given us input, the first level. And then we factored in that input and we send it to Auditor General for their technical input, and the due date, it's end of this month. Then the governing body is meeting on the 25th of November to consider that. But in the meantime, the old supply chain policy, which gave us problems, as the chairperson of the board has highlighted, was suspended when this findings came to the fore, and we, from the advice from them as the Auditor General, they said, apply the legal prescripts as they are, not modified until such time you have your own supply chain policies where you can deal with delegations of authority and everything going forward for extra oversight.
And then I think in terms of the recommendation regarding training, the point is noted, and absolutely it must be ongoing because I think not only are there new staff members coming in and the need to refresh constantly, but also the prescripts do change and the Treasury notes and regulations shift from time to time, and it's very important that we stay updated with that because I think a lot of what was identified in terms of the supply chain management policies was where an update wasn't initially in 2005, where the policy wasn't aligned with the updated requirements. So we certainly take that on board and will note that. We have dealt with points 12 and 5, I hope to your satisfaction already, and then the final point in terms of recording of disciplinary action, I'm just going to ask you to address.
Thanks very much for the request in relation to that. We do, in a summary table in the annual report, list the disciplinary action that has been taken. And in relation to, I'm not sure if this particular one, but the one in the previous years where there are what I would call specific PFMA violations where you have to report to the National Treasury or they may result in criminality, we do list those in our annual report. But I think of the point that you raised, and I think if I'm understanding correctly, that you would like more detail on that, and I think the point's well taken and we'll certainly take it up.
Any more?
directives from the members? Honorable Nyakemba?
Not just one on another point response, CMA director. I think in reporting on disciplinary actions taken, I think you must also take into account that you do not necessarily report the details of your findings. It's just an indication that this was the offense and then this was the outcome. I'm raising this because if you do that, you might be opening up yourself. Because, yes. You don't go to the merits because there are other processes that is either the disciplined person is still pursuing the matter. So once then now you give the details of these were the reasons, I think it won't be correct. I just wanted to raise that.
I will not ask any question or any clarity. As I said, we will have to get an advice so that we have a collective view as to whether the process that you are following and we are happy with and every input that you have put in front of us. And then at that stage, we'll call on you, give you feedback if there's no need, but definitely a collective view on what is here, it's needed. For today, we thank you so much, and the meeting is adjourned. The meeting is adjourned for CCMA, not for members of parliament. I just want to correct that. Members, we can just walk around. We are kept here. We are waiting for other members because we have to look at this report and adopt it.